believe in the power inside of my heart.
I do too.
God is the source from whom we'll never apart.
That's right.
No challenge too great and no cause is too small.
Tell me about it, brother.
This infinite love is inside of us all.
Thank you, Eric Benet. That was the introductory track from his album, Eric Benet, Life and Love. That's after he was dropped by the... Well, I won't get into that. But thank you for joining me for the webcast on this wonderful, wonderful day. And what day is it? Oh, come on, John. Stick with the real deal. May the 13th. My goodness, half of this month is almost gone. I can't believe it. It just began. We're going to have a great time talking today because I'm going to tell you about two just wonderfully looking gorgeous ladies that I met. I went to pick up my mail at the P.O. box, and as usual, I was getting ready to go out and take care of a little business, and I want to say thank you to the Wigglies. But they were there at the computer taking care of a little business, and I had on a sweatshirt, something about old school was on there, and they said, "Hey, old school." And so, of course, I popped in to just say hello to them, and upon my doing that, I discovered how beautiful both of the women were, and I began to talk to them about relationships, tell them a little bit about who I was, a retired pastor, gave them my website address and all that, you know, just loving the human exchange. And looking at one was a little older than the other, and they were both very attractive. They could have been related or very good friends. But I begin the conversation, as I usually do, talking about the estranged relationships between men and women and how different and confusing things are today. I painted the background with me being a retired pastor, and I was telling them how much I was enjoying my life being single and not being committed to anyone, but being committed to myself. And I think that speaks volumes today. But anyhow, as I was speaking with them and I finished the conversation and went to my car, I said, you know, I think I'll make a website about that. How is it way back in the olden days? I came up with this verse to kind of like spawn the webcast, because you guys know that I have a Christian background. I mean, a first century Christian contextual background. I don't have a T.D. Jakes, Creflo Dollar, all these kinds of TBN television, Christian speaking in tongues, falling out, acting wacko and crap like that. Nah, I'm talking about, let's go back 2,000 years. Let's find a group of people that were outcast in their society because they loved. They were outcast in their society because they knew how to love one another. And I've been looking for that. I've been looking for that my whole adult life. I've been looking for someone to love me, just not because I'm good to look at or good to listen to, but someone to love me because I'm here. I'm here. It's like the Cao Dai religion of Vietnamese. The Cao Dai religion don't have a group of clerics or clergy. They don't have church houses and things like that. It's not about what's going to happen in the future, eternal home in heaven somewhere. It's about right now. Right now. And I kind of like that conception. I want a right now relationship with God. Doesn't that sound good? Right now. I got up this morning and I knew that I had a lot of work to do, essays to read, stuff to do. And it's going on 12 noon, and I'm just getting started. But I'm going to be in the office all day. I don't have anywhere else to go. I don't have to go and get any food, any water, anything. Now it's time to work. I got my weights. my 25-pound polished chrome barbells with me so I can work my muscles, work my mind. And it's going to be a great day working in the office. But do I need a woman by my side? No, I had that. And I'm going to tell you, it's not always what it cuts out to be. I was talking with a young man yesterday, and I mentioned the term henpecked. This young man is 25 years old. He's never heard the term. I said, oh, my God, you've never heard of when a man is henpecked? And I said, you'll probably be henpecked. And he probably will be because he gives himself over to women too freely. And I explained to him what a henpecked man was. And he stayed over and he watched the movie with me last night on Netflix. And there was a character in the movie who played a henpecked role. I said, you see the way his woman treats him? She tells his business in the street when he doesn't want her to. He can't stop her. She threatens him with the look and he foils and coils under it. He swears he's going to leave her. He does in the movie, and then he gets back with her and tells the guy that he swore that he was right to leave, and he says, I can't leave her. I got to go back. He's henpecked. And so the young man understood, and I said, usually men that get married and are with women become like that. Well, when you look at that verse that I chose to spearhead the webcast with, Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 5. Moses speaking to the children of Israel, giving them the law, straight from God, right? This is the law, straight from God. And he says, when a man is newly married, because this young man was telling me yesterday, he's about 25, and he says, John, I want to get married. And I said, no, you don't. And he said, yes, I do. I said, why? And then it took him a little time. And I want you ladies that listen to me, listen to this. He's 25 years old, very handsome, works with his father. He's used to working. His disposition over the years that I've known him has changed from that of being a child into a young man, thinking. He's reasoning more. He's not operating off of sheer emotions because he doesn't know. It took him a couple of years. As a matter of fact, I asked him, why were we having this conversation together? And he says, John, I don't know whether you understand this, but I deem you as a second father to me. And I says, what do you mean? He says, well, my dad doesn't talk to me. Not the way you do. Here you are starting a conversation. He comes over just so that I can start a conversation with him and have a conversation about him, about something that he doesn't know. And he learns from it. And he loves me because of that. And I love him back because of that. I want to talk to you older men now. I got to jump tracks because some of you older men have all this knowledge, all this wisdom, and you're not sharing it with these young people. That's one of the things that I'm going to miss because it looks like my tenure at Harbor College is finally rolling down to an end. But I'm going to miss talking with those young men. I'm going to miss it. They are a great group of guys. Man, as a matter of fact, I was walking in the mall. I'll come back to the subject matter. I got to tell you how I have young men embedded in me. I'm walking in the mall yesterday, and I passed by the recruitment station. You know, in some of these malls, they have military recruitment things here, and they had two young guys out standing in front of the Marine thing, and they had on these Marine t-shirts, and I said, hey, so who are you guys? And they said, we just enlisted today. So I said, so you're going to go to Marine boot camp. I began a conversation talking with these. They couldn't have been a day over 20. And I'm talking with these. One was Asian and one was Hispanic. And I mean, they both looked like they were brothers. Toned, no body fat, muscles toned, eyes clear, no dope, not smoking, no red eyes, no foul language. And I told them when I was in the Army, back during Vietnam, and one of them said, yes, I heard about how the soldiers were treated poorly after the war. And I said, you are educated correctly. And I said, so you love this country and you want to defend it and serve it. And they said, yes, and just goosebumps came all over me. all over me. And I grabbed both of their hands and I said, thank you. Thank you, man. When you look into the face of a young man, a young Marine, and some people, I was, oh, I wouldn't do that. Oh, they're killers. And let me tell you something. Freedom comes at a high cost, my brothers and sisters. I was in the armed forces, in the Army. I saw guys that went off to die. I saw guys that came to Korea for rest and recuperation. And they told me the war stories. I have great respect for the military. And hopefully we'll get a president in there that'll put more money in the military to keep that military base strong. And I shook their hands and congratulated them for serving our country. One Asian, one Hispanic, and one black, me. I'm like a grandfather talking to them. And I said, thank you. Thank you for giving lives of yours, years of your service towards our country. And I said, let me tell you something, man. With all of our bad parts, this is the greatest country on the blooming planet. I'm telling you, I love America. And I don't want to get emotional, but if you don't love America, can I be frank? Get the hell out of here and go on back to wherever, what hole you crawled out of to come over here. And so that you can even mouth your disagreement with giftedness. But that was good. And I thought about those young men and I said, man, they would make perfect, perfect husbands for some perfect little girls. Then I read this verse, Deuteronomy 24:5. It says, when a man is newly married, he shall not go out with the army or be charged with any business. He shall be free at home 1 year to be happy with his wife whom he has taken. Now I want you to think with me. What? Yeah, that's in your Bible. What? Yeah, you didn't know that, did you? What? And I'll read it again. When a man is newly married, young man, you ain't talking about no 40, 50-year-old dude on his third way around. Ain't talking about a dude that dumped his first wife, kicked her in the tail, and treated her like bull crap. Ain't talking about the Steve Harvey types, mess up women's lives and then write stupid books and cries on radio and television and then try to tell other people how to be successful when he jive time, can't even choose the right woman who's Miss Whatever. Not that. I'm talking about real men. I'm not talking about this fake kind of man, you know, a Strahan, the football player on that talk show wearing red boots almost up to his ass, women's boots. I ain't talking about that kind of man. Because, see, that kind of frivolity feminizes a man. It breaks him down. And wait a minute, don't get me wrong. I didn't say nothing against gay people. I didn't. If you gay, you go ahead and be gay. And if you want to dress like a woman, you think you're transgendered, you're in America. You can do that. Your president even opted today to just put in new bathrooms for everybody that wants to find the zone that they're in. I don't know whether that's right or wrong. Who's going to pay for this crap? I figure that when you have to relieve yourself, if you have a penis, you need to go in there where the urinal is and stand up over that thing and take out your penis and pee in that. Now, if you figure you're a woman and you have a penis and you want to go in the women's bathroom, you're not a woman. You may think you're a woman in your mind, but now President Obama then right across the board through the health education thing that you got to provide all these things. Are you, you know what? That's going a little bit too far. I don't mind you finding who you are and being who you are because I found who I am and I love it. And I hope that you find who you are and you love it. But at my cost, and so you can see, I'm a man that's thinking. And unfortunately, I think our president has taken certain liberties, and that's one of them. I don't agree with that. And he wants this mess to start, check it out, in grade schools. That means if your first and second grade child tells you that he's not a little boy, that he's a little girl. And he wants to wear a dress, and he wants to go into the girl's room. Well, I think you need to really sit down and talk with that child and have a deep conversation with them, and then find out where they are. And if they are truly that kind of individual, I think you need to educate them as to how to hold their urine or their waste until they come to a proper place to relieve themselves, because everybody's not going to go along with that. I kind of segued on to that, but let me get back to the verse. Why do you think God, in his majestic care for us, would come out with a dictum or a mandate like that? Now, when a man taketh a new wife, other people have made similar provisions for such circumstances. Alexander the great general, once ordered those of his soldiers who had married a year to spend the winter with their wives while the army was in winter quarters. And you have to read the Arian and section 1 on that to find out where Alexander the Great even wrote that into his provision. So back in the time, this was a normative thing. Look at this. When a young man is young and he marries, before he can even engage in any kind of professional business, okay, before he puts his feet in the sand and buckles down and builds that business and makes his hundreds and thousands and whatever, and so that he can live happily, before he does anything, he had to spend 1 year with his woman, loving her. Now, it doesn't stop right there, because Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 7, it says, "And what man is there that hath betrothed a wife and hath not taken her?" And then it says, "Let him go and return into his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man take her." See, this is why God had this provision put in for Israel, because he said, you go on and be with that wife, because if you're going to get up there on the front and you're going to be fighting for the country, you need to leave a baby with her. And see, and I was telling these women in the place where I pick up my mail, I said, you need to love that man. You need to love him. Not just, you know what I told him? I said, not just to lie down in the bed with him and get naked and frolic. I said, children do that. I said, you know, when you marry someone, you're not frolicking. There's a complete difference between frolicking as a young person. And that's why they had something on Facebook. Some guy was in the car with his dad, and he had just realized from his one of his girlfriends that she was pregnant. And he mentioned it to his dad, and his dad went off on him. They were black. And his dad went off on him, and his dad said, "Don't be bringing that mess around me, because I'm not taking care of that." And then the guy even said, and she was just a fat woman. See, he was frolicking with her. But in his frolicking, she got pregnant, and his whole world has changed. And his father told him, "You can't take care of the two you made now. Why in the heck did you make a third one?" That's frolicking. Bible isn't talking about that. The Bible is talking about when a man and a woman look at each other. When a couple that loves each other, heck, looks at each other. You don't want to frolic with them. You want to know them. I'm just keeping it real. When I was pastoring in the church, I used to, you see that picture up on my website? Me up there with those guys. Do you know where we were when me and Ron Thrash and Carlos Huesca and myself? Do you know where we were? We were up on somewhere in Arrowhead, up in the mountains, San Bernardino Mountains, having a men's retreat. That's when we were having a men's retreat, and I was making these statements to my men. And I believe that Carlos Huesca is still with his wife. I know that Ron still loves his lady. I don't know whether he's still with her, but I speak with Ron now and then because I know where he's employed at. And I love going by there. As a matter of fact, I have to get by there to see him soon. But we were up at a men's retreat, and I was teaching them these things. And I want you to think with me here in 2016, because God is immutable. You know what that means? He doesn't change. Have you ever read that verse that says, I am the Lord and I change not? So since he changes not, and I believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God, this verse is important. It's very important. It doesn't stop right there. You can go to Proverbs chapter 5, verse 18, and it says, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. See, I married Lucy when I was 23, and Lucy was 21. These men that I spoke to yesterday, these boys I call them, but they're men. They're boys grown up into men. We're about 20, 21 years old. Now they aren't thinking about getting married, but if they do get married and if they do want a woman, they don't want to frolic with them. They want to love them. Let the woman love you. When you give the woman, listen, young man, when you give the woman your seed, your child, that is a beautiful thing because you're going to have to take care of that child. That's why I can look back in fond memories of being with my wife for 34 years because she gave me two of the most beautiful daughters that anyone can ever have, and the privilege not only of consummating their lives, which was a joy. Believe it or not, this old man remembers everything. And it is just a joy. Listen, it's just a joy to think back and to remember or to contemplate the journey that I took with my woman and my babies. And everything else. I'm going to have to pause, okay? Give me a minute. Thank you for being patient. Call for Mario. I had to tell him he's out of the country. But when I look at these verses and I look at the frolicking situation that's going on in our society today and the seriousness, that's why I had the discussion with the ladies. And I said, you know, I think it's time for y'all's generation to get serious. Because if not, it's just going to be nothing but high frolicking. And then the venereal disease rate is going to go up. Broken heart rate is going to go up. And then you would wonder why people cannot consistently find persons that they can love without cracking on them so much. And anyway, I told the ladies, you need to love your men. I said, if they treat you like a lady, you need to call that man your baby. And they kind of laughed. But I was serious. I'm always serious. I guess the good old days is good and done. The good old days is over. You did not find people that jump into relationships the way they did before. Because relationships these days are thoroughly, highly complicated. They're based upon how much money the person is making. And you know what, I was thinking yesterday, I said, well, you know, John, you can get with somebody else, but for God's sake, make sure she got money because you don't have any more. That would be the wrong reason to do that. You never get with anyone for security purposes. I can be secure where I am, and I'd rather be a bum where I am. Alone. Thank God that for the years that I was with my wife, that things were so beautiful in my life that I never had to see her in a condition less than that would be appropriate in my particular frame of reference. I think that a man should take care of a woman and that a woman ought not or should not have to take care of a man. Now, it's different. If the woman is rich when she falls in love with the man that has nothing, she's not taking care of him. She's giving what she has over to him because of the love that he gives to her. See, here again, here's a concept that is unthought of in our culture today. What do you mean? Why should I give him all my money? It's mine. I don't know what he's going to do. What are you doing with him? You frolicking with him? Is that what that's all about? A mad frolic? What do you mean you don't know what he's going to do? You know what he's going to do. He told you what he's going to do. To have and to hold, to love and to cherish, to honor and to obey. Till death do you part, so help you God. That's what he said, right? So why are you talking smack now? Well, those vows don't mean nothing. I wouldn't even get near a woman like that. Because you get near a woman like that, that woman is going to henpeck you and have your life all messed up. See, that's how I help the young man. I help the young men in my environment by warning them that if you let money and the love of it and the having of it control your relationship, that something is wrong, that it ought not be that way. Oh, I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it. Everywhere I go, I see God's handwriting on everything. And it is just beautiful. I am telling you, great care should be taken not to interrupt or weaken the affection between a man and his wife. And it should by all proper means be cherished and perpetrated. That's what this is all about. And you can see the close coexistence of these dictums as you read even other parts of the New Testament scriptures in Ephesians chapter 5, 25 through 33. I probably won't read all these verses. But it says, husbands, love your wives, as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That's why that man had to spend a year with her before he went off to his job or to battle. Because he's giving himself for his wife. Not just physically, not just frolicking. I mean, that all feels good and it's good for you and it's healthy for you. And it's normative. I don't know why so many evangelicals frown up at the thought of lovemaking. The thought of lovemaking is very progressive. I mean, that's what it's all about. That's how people get here. Didn't no Stark bring nobody. It was some exciting interaction and physical contact between the species. Now, you may want it in a Hindu style. You may want it in a Buddhist style. You may want it in a Christian. You may want it in a Scientology style. I don't care what religion you choose. But the coupling act is going to take place. And I'm just telling you that just as Christ gave himself for the church, so the man should give himself towards his wife like that. That he might, what? Verse 26. Sanctify and cleanse it. That's what Christ did to his church. Through the washing of water by the word. That he might, what? Present it, that is the church, to himself a glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle. That's what the man is with the woman for. Everything is clean there. He doesn't want any other man tampering with this woman. I know some of you people out there believe in swapping, wife swapping, and all that kind of stuff. Don't do that. Lucy and I never did that. Don't ever do that. If you marry that woman under God, you better listen to me. You better listen to me. I'm going to tell you, hey, I may not be behind no pulpit. I may not have on a clerical collar right now, but you better listen to me. Don't you give your wife into that? Let me tell you why. Because, see, wife swapping or girlfriend-boyfriend swapping is very popular today. Menage a trois, everything else. You know, hey, have you ever thought, I was talking with a young man and he was saying that when he was in Vegas that an older gentleman came up to him and said, my wife is fat and ugly and I can't have sex with her no more. I'll give you $1,500 if you make love to my wife. I said, no, he didn't. He said, yes, he did. And this is what people do. It's called wife swapping. And he'll, you know, he goes to Sin City because he, and then what he does is he turns to an African-American male because this guy was white. And he said, will you do that? I'm just talking to you in real time to let you know what is going on out there. Don't do that. Don't do that. Because see, once that act takes place, it's solidified, buddy. It's in your head. It's in your heart. It's there. Man, that's it. You are going to find that that kind of behavior will thwart any advancement of progressiveness in your relationship as well as in your life. That is why if you're fooling around, frolicking with other people before you marry your wife and your wife knows it, and vice versa, she's frolicking around, there will never be any true trust and dependence on that person on being your mate, ever. Ever. Because she's going to remember, or he's going to remember something about that other person that far outweighs what you do. Because everybody don't frolic in the same way. And that's where the problem comes. Oh, honey, he got money and everything. Yeah, ooh, and he got that cute little dimple. Look at it. Ooh, yeah, and look at them eyes. Oh, God, girl, look at my eyes. That boy is so fine. I want his baby. I want his baby. I want his baby. I want his baby. I want it. Do you want him? Do you want him? Man, don't give up your seed to a woman that just wants your baby and don't want you. Don't do that. That's what I would tell those guys up in the mountains up there like that. Verse 28 of Ephesians 5 says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies, that he loveth his wife as he loveth himself. Oh, yeah. See, I wouldn't want nobody messing over me. So why should I want to mess over her? See, that's the principle when Jehovah God is leading you. That's the way you orchestrate how you live. And see, I don't tell people what to do. These youngsters tell me about their experiences and things like that. I never jump in their lives and try to tell them what to do. What I try to do is to give them some guidance, some encouragement to look at it from another perspective, to look at it down the... But they can't because there's so much drugs out there today. There's drugs. And what these youngsters do now is that they take the drugs and then they frolic, and in their minds, they've created this fake love icon in their minds. And every time they do that, they think that's lovemaking. It's not lovemaking, that's frolicking. And it leads to nothing but disaster. Now, since God tells you to love your wife as you love your own body, in verse 29, he says, no man have ever hated his own flesh, so why should you hate your wife in any time? Like that guy that went to Vegas. He must have hated his wife going to Vegas and asking a young man that I know to service his wife. Can you believe that? See, and this is America, a country that I love, that I... But man, there's too much of this mess going on now. That's what I mean. I've outlived my time. There was a time when you could hear this verse in church and know that you can't go to Vegas and do that. So he says, no man has ever hated his own flesh. But on the contrary, he said in verse 29, on the other opposite side of the coin, but nourished his flesh and cherished it, even as the Lord does the churches. See, he keeps bringing in this analysis of how God loves us and would never bespoil us with frolicking. His love towards us is genuine. What he is communicating here in this very unique verse is that the love that we have for the individuals that we're with ought to be genuine also. You understand how that works? You got that, boy? Okay. All right, because it's not about that. And stop comparing yourselves to other men. Stop comparing yourselves, brothers, to other men. Oh, well, I can't satisfy a woman. Hold her, man. Hold her. She just want, you know, in most cases, she just want to be hell. Seriously. They want to be held. They want to be held by your strong arms. They want to feel the hair on your chest. They want to feel it. It's okay. There's nothing wicked and evil about that. They like that masculine touch. That's very... Yes, I'm giving lessons like this. I got to give them. Because I'm telling you, when you look at television, television then feminized most of the males in this country. Oh, no, cut all that hair off. No, leave that hair on your chest, boy. What's the matter with you? Man, they got us shaving our heads and it's all of our bodies, everything. It's like, oh, I don't want this offensive hair on me. A woman, I think, should shave herself. She would put on a more decent display when in public instead of having human hair growing out of every portion of her skin. That's just the way it is in this culture. But a man, I mean, if he likes a shaved body, that's good. That's cool. He can do that. But don't do that to get a mate. See, that's what I'm saying. Now, look what it says in verse 30 of Ephesians chapter 5. It says, for we are members of his body. In other words, what the writer is doing is saying, you have a body, your lady has a body, or your man has a body. You are members of God's body making processes because you're not your own anymore. You ever hear that verse? You're not your own, but you bought with a price. That's what it's talking about. God has paid the price by blessing you, by nurturing you, by keeping you healthy and strong, giving you employment, letting your life be as such where you can drive to work down the street and see something take place and you can really have feelings about it instead of just joining the maddening traffic crowd and doing stupid stuff. We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. The implication of that verse is that you are members of your wife's or your husband's flesh and bones. See, when Lucy was my wife, she was my wife. Somebody asked me recently, if anybody messed with Lucy, would you kill them over that? I said, probably not. I said, God is the one that said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I don't want to be the legislature of that kind of judgment because that would entail killing someone. And I don't think I want to do that. Would I? To defend my wife against anyone hurting her? Yes, I would. I put a bullet right through their head. But I'd make sure I'm aimed right, but I wouldn't look at it when the bullet came out of the gun. I wouldn't. I don't want to see a person leave because that stays with you. Ask some of our soldiers that come back from over the waters. That was one of the problems that my brother had. He was ordered to kill the innocents when he was in during the Vietnamese War, you know, when they were crossing the border into Laos and Cambodia. Well, he was with those troops. He's messed up today because of what he did. And he told me about just blowing whole villages away. God, I said, God help us. And my brother wept and said, will I get to heaven? I got to know. I didn't want to do that. I was ordered. I'm telling you, life, and I'm backing up the military, yes, because everything that our military does is not correct. Now look at verse 31. I don't know whether you ladies that are listening to me ever looked at this. It says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. That is Ephesians 5 and 31. And look at 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. See, it's not going to take place unless the love that Christ has for us is in us as we join up and mate up with that partner of ours in that spirit. Yeah. I met two beautiful ladies. And when I met these two beautiful ladies, we struck up a conversation about life. And when we struck up the conversation about life, life happened. Beyond that point, to such a degree that it prompted me to do this webcast. And I hope that you got something out of it. Really. Eric, are you ready? I'm going to let Eric take us out with the same thing that he took us in with. Why don't you listen again? Listen to this.
I believe in a power inside of my heart.
I do too, man.
God is the source from whom we're never apart.
Yeah, yeah.
No challenge too great and no cause is too small.
Say it, boy.
This infinite love is inside of us all.
Play them drums, boy. There it is. Thank you guys for tuning in to my webcast today. I'm glad that you could spend some time with me. Listen, my email address into the word is bogus. Don't even try to use it anymore. Doesn't work. I'll put another email up there. My Gmail email I'll put back up. Hey, listen, whatever you do, stay into the word of God. All right? Let's listen to a little bit of Eric Bonet. Listen to this.
Wonder why every guy left her out in the cold.
Yeah.
What daddy did, she must forget before her heart grows colder. Ooh. And all the love she's dreaming of, maybe then she will know. Yeah, we got stories and people to blame. Don't blame for our lives. No, don't get lost in that circle.
Don't you know, that's a lie. The only way is to leave the past behind.
With love, patience, and time. And it won't take long. And it's gonna be
wondering if you've never come to one of my webcasts before. Gosh, this guy's a preacher. Yeah, because young people don't go to church. Not the way I went to church back in the day. And since they don't, I've chosen a method that I'm trying to reach them by, because this immutable God that we love and worship never changes. And he has. And what I mean by he, I don't mean the generic he. I mean God, the Father, the creator of the whole universe. He doesn't have a human body that he lives in. But he would have his work operate in a harmonious fashion. And it is only harmony that causes love to work. Love, patience, and time. Listen.
Power strong. In your heart, mind. Love, patience, and time. Mm. And it won't be long till it's gonna be around. Love, patience, and time. Power strong. In your heart, mind.
Love, patience, and time. From an album called Love and Life by Eric Bonet. And what is so unique about this album, it came out right after his wife divorced him. You know, this was his first album after that. That's why I had to pick up on it, because I said, you know, I want to see how the boy is doing. And he's doing pretty good. Pretty good. Plus on the album cover, I love that black leather jacket. I have one similar to that. Hey, thanks folks for coming to my website, listening to me. I'm going to put this up on the World Wide Web so you can all hear it. What is my email address? I should give you the email address that you can reach me at. It's a Gmail account, and I got it around here somewhere. I'll put it up on the website. God bless. Whatever you do, you know the drill. Stay in the Word.